Greatest love story ever told, for sure. I don't think we'll ever get through telling it even after we get to be with the Lord. Amen. I want you to go to a book kind of hard to find this morning, the last book in the Bible, called the Book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ as he's revealed. Somebody says it's a dark book. No, it's got a dark spot in it. I'm going to go there this morning. It's found in Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. I'm going to speak to you on dark holes. Pits is the word often used in the Bible. But most of us recognize the analogy often given between darkness and light, especially in the Scripture. And darkness changes things sometime. I said a while ago, I appreciated Brother Parsons covering for me while I was out. I'm testing it this morning to see if I've got wind enough and to make it. But I appreciate him doing a good job. I hope you all know Brother Parsons and Sister Parsons. They're hard workers here. They really, really are. And I don't know how long they've been married. Probably around 20 years, I'm just guessing. But I did know that he finally took a night off for the anniversary and went out to a nice restaurant. Sister Parsons got dressed nice, and Barry did the best he could. Anyway, they got out there and got him a nice table and just got set down, and the power blinked off. It went dark for just a few seconds. And when it came back on, Sister Parsons was smiling from ear to ear. And Barry looked at her, and she said, "Well, thank you, honey, for that kiss." He said, "I didn't kiss you." She kind of glanced over her shoulder and said, "It must have been that man over there." Well, Barry jumped up and said, "I'll teach him something." She said, "Sit down, honey. You can't teach him a thing." Darkness makes a difference sometimes. Revelation chapter 9 now. We gave you the sedative. Now we're going to do a little operation. Revelation chapter 9. I want you to look at it. Hope you got your Bible open. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him," it was a personality, "was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Now, I've taught and preached through the book of Revelation a lot. I don't have time to put all of this in context. Most everybody's heard of the bottomless pit, and that's in the context here. And we have some information about it. I think it occurs somewhere in the midst to the end of the tribulation period, the time of the Antichrist kingdom. I'm not going to get off in that this morning. I just want to talk to you a little bit on the fact that it's a place of darkness here. It's a place of dread and of fear, and a place where no light is, and where an evil deity is over it. And the darkness part of this is represented here as evil, and you find through the Bible much that darkness is represented as evil. In the Dead Sea Scrolls, they dug out all the caves over there in Kidron, over there in Israel. They have some of the early writings of the Hebrews over there talk about a time in the end where there'll be a great war between the children of light and the children of darkness. Now, as we look around today, we think we can see those sides identified like never before. This world anymore is not only divided, the evil is not ashamed of itself anymore. It is right in our face. It is abundant everywhere that we look. And it's a dark time. Now, America officially had a dark day on its calendar way back in the colonial days. And you can look it up. Some of you can. A mysterious day when it got dark when it should have been daylight, when the chickens went home to roost in the middle of the day, and that sort of thing. Here recently, the International Space Station, a couple of years back, come out with a statement, and it was a headline getting thing, and it said there's a dark hole on planet Earth, and the picture of it in Asia area over there was a picture between South Korea and China. And it looked like a dark hole between the two, and the dark hole turned out to be North Korea. North Korea has been in the news, of course, and all of that. I don't want to get into it too much, except to say this: the only light coming out of that whole nation was a little pinpoint of light from the capital itself. And I thought how fitting that image was from space to look down and take a picture and see the dark hole that it was in what we would call North Korea, Eastern Asia today. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about such holes, such pits. There is dark holes in space. Some of you teenagers use your Bible this morning. You might find this useful in class sometime. If you want to go to the book of Job, if you get to Psalms, go to your left, and you'll pick up on the book of Job, and there is a hole in space. When I go over to Job, I pick up in about verse 26. Now, if you get to the Psalms, go to your left and pick it up in the book of Job. And there's a lot of science actually in Job. In fact, there's a test given at the end of the book of Job, around chapter 38, that most science teachers today cannot. They can't ace it. They can get more answers to it now than they used to have. But God gave Job a test there at the end of his time of suffering. And Job couldn't pass it. And the latest scientists today still can't pass it. And there's a lot of science in the book of Job. I pick it up in chapter 26 and verse 7. I want you to see this part. Teens, look at it. He stretcheth out the north. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hanged the earth upon what? Nothing. Now, there was a time when latest science said that the earth rode on the back of a turtle. Check it out. There was a time they said it rode on the back of Hercules, who was standing on the back of a turtle. Bunch of junk. During all that time, the Word of God said God hung it on nothing. Now, you and I say, well, what is nothing? I got two handfuls of nothing right here. We call it gravity. If I relax, they go down, don't we? Right? You got it? Somebody says, well, what is gravity? Well, I got two hands full of nothing. He hung the world on nothing. I can't see it. But brother, it stays in place. It does what God told it to do. And he says he stretched the empty place over the north. Now, the best that the astronomers and all will tell you is that north is straight up. Now, I hate to admit that. I thought it was down south. But anyway, heaven is straight up north. That's from which Satan tried to fall. Remember, he fell down, Isaiah 14, on the sides of the north, trying to put his throne above God's throne. And yet God stretcheth the empty place up there over the north. I said that one time. I was a young pastor. I was pastoring my first country church, and I was teaching somewhere through the Bible, and I got on this subject. And there was a bright young school teacher, a man, in my congregation at night. His wife, in fact, played the piano for us. A good couple. And when I said that there's an empty place up there, he said, "No, they're not." He said, "That's my part." He said, I teach that in school." He said, I teach you. And he said, "The whole sky is full." He said, "All of space is full." He said, "There is no such thing as an empty place." And I said, "Well, I'm going to go with the Bible. You go with the science book. You'll catch up later." And but you know what he done? He went and studied. And he come back the next Wednesday night at that Bible study, and he said, "Preacher, I apologize. There is an empty place over the north. There's a hole up there, as it were. I don't know on the other side. It's a long way where we're not going to reach it from NASA rockets or anything else, no doubt about that. But there's a hole up there." And I thought, as I heard this thing about Korea and its darkness, it's known, nicknamed as the Hermit Kingdom. And Stalin, after World War II, basically made a puppet government out of it. And the little rocket man that the president was meeting with this week, he's part of the family. He's a grandson. There was the father, and then there was a son, and now there's a grandson in charge. They're not really in charge. They're puppets. And Stalin set up there what is a socialistic government, not much of a government at all. And as it went bankrupt and went on down the hill, there's a place where there's no freedom. I mean, no freedoms at all. Now, listen to me. Don't watch the man walk out. Listen to me a minute. We got a lot of politicians trying to drag us into the dark pit hole like Korea is in. We better watch out for that. That's what is exactly happening, where no freedom. Now, we're talking about raising in our restore-a-thon the budget for our radio station. If you were in Korea today as a normal citizen, you would be commanded to have the state radio in your house on all the time on one station. And that station is full of nothing but the propaganda that they want you to hear. And it control your life. In fact, it has beeps on the radio station that tells you when to get up. It beeps to tell you to get up. It beeps to tell you time to clean up. It beeps to tell you the time to go to work. It beeps to tell you the time to eat lunch. It beeps the time to tell you to come home. It beeps the time to tell you time to go to bed. You have no freedom. It's telling you what to do all the time. And their religion is the religion of their leaders, their great leader, their great general sent down from heaven. It is the man worship of their leadership. They take hymns like you heard sung here this morning, and they take those hymns and they cut parts out. Instead of worshiping God in that song, instead of worshiping Jesus in that song, they put their great leader in that song. That's what the darkness is over Korea. Or they say, "Well, it's dark because they had no powerful lights and they can't afford." Oh, I understand. But they got a greater darkness than what the space people saw. Greater darkness than what the International Space Station was able to record. That's a darkness because they've been separated and pulled back from God. And we better watch our own politicians that they don't drag us down into that same bad hole that I'm talking about, that Korea's in, that Cuba's in, that Venezuela's in. And I can't believe some of this stuff. I mean, I've seen them destroy our morals for years through the news, but now I can't hardly. It's funny. People are making jokes about it. But now they're talking about the Green Deal. They brainwashed some of you folks into thinking Earth is about gone because we're polluting it. That's a bunch of lying junk. God Almighty created it, and it's going to last as long as He wanted it to. And He told Noah there would be seed time and harvest right on to the end. In other words, the seasons will come and go. You ever notice how they changed it from global warming to climate change? because it was freezing up north. Amen. All right. All right. But anyway, the green deal. Ms. Cortez got caught eating a hamburger. Right. She's the one advocating getting rid of the cows. No more McDonald's. No more double burgers for you, my friend. What a bunch of junk. Crazy. How could they get rid of the cars, get rid of the airplanes, raise the taxes to 90% and so forth, and all of that business, pull the borders down, let everybody come in, everybody gets a paycheck whether they want to work or not. If you're buying into that, you ought to go buy the Brooklyn Bridge. It's still for sale. Amen. I'm just saying to you, it's a bunch of foolishness. Bunch of foolishness. But we're seeing something in America. We're seeing our morals so corrupted our teens don't know what's right and wrong. I saw where a school teacher got fired this week. A man teacher got fired in a public school because he refused to call a biologically female a him. So she complained, and so they said, "You will call her what she wants to be called today. Today she wants to be called a man." He said, "I won't do it. She's a woman," so he got fired. What's happening in America, folks? They're dragging us into a dark pit. They're dragging us into a hole. They're dragging us into the same hole. I heard a guy the other day advocating socialism on the news, and somebody was bright enough to ask him, "Show me a nation that's ever worked." He said, "I can't. I can't." He at least told the truth there. But we're seeing normal citizens become lawbreakers because we stand for old-fashioned, biblical, sound, common-sense truth. Old French atheist Voltaire, I never agreed with him hardly on anything. He's dead and in hell for a long time now. But old Voltaire made this statement. He said, "It's a dangerous thing to be right when your government is wrong." And we're moving to that place in America. Watch out for it. Watch out. There's some dark holes in space. There's some dark holes in politics down here. Some dark holes in America that we need to watch out because they're trying to drag us into them. There's some dark holes we all have to deal with in our lives. Sure. We can all look back and say, "I messed up here. I missed out there. I should have done that different." I can think of some holes I got in and God got me out of. Can you? I sure can. I'll tell you what, I think of more dark holes that I almost got into and he delivered me from. Amen. Yeah, we have some dark holes in our life sometime. We have some, that's true in our relationships, in our friends. Teens, listen to me again. Show me your friends, who you run with, and I'll tell you a lot about your future. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you down the road. And look out for that very business. True relationships, but friends that are real friends is one thing. And friends that are deceptive is something else. A lot of sexual dark pits that a lot of teenagers are in, they got drug in by their friends. The friends brought them in. We hear a lot reading our paper today, a lot about sex trafficking. We got a good sheriff that deals with it and catches them online. I can't believe the filth and the lowdown, the indecency of what you read in those situations. It just blows my mind. But I say to you young people, there's a sad story in the Bible. It's found, I'm not going to turn to it because of morning time shortage, but you can find it in 2 Samuel chapter 13. It's a story that starts out like this. It's a young man who thinks he's in love with his half-sister. It's in the family of King David. And the story in the first verse of 2 Corinthians 13 says, "And Amnon had a friend." Oh, what a friend. That friend advised him wrong, caused him to wind up raping his half-sister, bringing God's judgment upon the kingdom of David. And the kingdom of David never climbed up again to what it would be. Caused the other boy, Absalom, the girl's brother, to kill the other one. And it was a terrible thing. It all started with sin because one guy said, "I'm a friend." He wasn't a friend. You've heard the little cliches with a friend like that. You don't need any enemies. And it's very, very true. Look out for relationships. There's oftentimes a dark pit waiting for you to step into. And young people, listen to me. A lot of these dark pits I'm talking about are in the cyberspace. They're online. Right in my own church membership in the last 10 years, I've known more folks got in trouble in that area. In the old days, they didn't sit around idling their time. And I don't believe in evolution because the Bible, of course, teaches against it. But evolution could not be true. If it was, a lot of you have grown extra fingers by now. Amen. You live in that world. Somebody says, give them a shovel. They would know which end to put in the ground. Pitiful. That stuff's going to destroy you. It is destroying. But some of you looking at me right now, that's the world you live in. You say, preacher, you don't live in it. Yeah, thank God I don't. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of young people being drawn into a dark hole, a pit of sin that many of them will never get out of, and it'll destroy their lives because they had a friend. Had a friend. No, he wasn't a friend. Wasn't a friend. It comes to the truth of the Word of God. When it comes true to the true gospel. When it comes to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You know where a lot of heresy is coming from now? Offline. That's where it's coming from. I've seen young people went to a good Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, preaching church. And they knew it. They never questioned it. They got saved. They trusted. They believed the Bible was the Word of God. They believed there was a heaven to go to and a hell to shun. And all of a sudden now they're into heresies. Hell's not real. Don't kid yourself. Be a bad mistake to make, wouldn't it? You sure would. Look out for the friends. Look out for the dark holes they'll drag you down into. But then I want to say this. The text... which I didn't spend much time on. The text is a dark hole in the future. Hadn't happened yet. That pit hadn't been opened yet. It will be opened. We're waiting for the trumpet to sound. Call God's people out. And the Antichrist is going to have free run for a while. But there's a time coming in the midst of the tribulation period when God begins to pour his woes of judgment out. And that's what you're reading here in the text. Back to the text here, it's the darkness of hell. Might not like that, but you're going to have to disagree with Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 8:12, talking to a crowd, said you'll be cast into outer darkness. In chapter 22, he gives the analogy of a man that tried to slip into the wedding without a wedding garment, and he was bound hand and foot and cast into what? Outer darkness. Oh yeah, that's the truth of what Jesus said about it. If you want to look at it a little further in the book of Revelation, turn to the right, go from chapter 9, and pick it up with me here in Revelation chapter 16. And we're talking about now the Antichrist kingdom. The beast has shown up, the 666, the mark of the beast, the whole story. And he's put up his kingdom, but now God's judgments begin to fall. And in Revelation chapter 16, it says in verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power with those plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the what? Seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying here is the end of the Antichrist kingdom. Here's the kingdom of darkness. Here's the kingdom God is judging. Here's how it's going to end up. The crooked politicians of the world and dictators and all the rest of them, they're serving the devil. The devil is leading them, but they haven't found out where he's taking them yet. But he's pulled them into a dark hole. God is going to pour darkness upon their kingdom. They're going to gnaw for the pain that they feel. Awful, awful thing, awful thing. No, we look around today and we see the darkness growing, the spiritual darkness growing like never before. I can't believe the lack of character, betrayals, indecency. Just amazing what's going on. It's a shadow of the kingdom that's going to come to power as soon as God's people, God's church that restrains the evil is pulled out. Boy, is it going to move then. It's going to move then. You know, everywhere you look today, you're seeing different ones trying to attack Christianity, attack the Bible. I saw where they're moving that, trying to get that big cross moved up there in Maryland, put up in World War I, 40-foot cross, put up by families of veterans. And they're trying to get it down now. They can't have a stand a symbol of God anywhere. If they get it down, what about all the little crosses on the graves of the soldiers? That'll be coming next, won't it? Oh, it's a dark time. It's increasing, but there's a time God's going to pour out his judgment on the kingdom of the Antichrist. It all ends in an awful judgment of God on sin. The devil winds up in the pit. He winds up in the lake of fire. I don't know, men, you ought to listen to me. Don't choose sides with the devil. He's a loser. He's a loser. Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. Think about that. Why would you want to crowd in where you don't have to go? See, you heard the young lady singing about it a while ago. The greatest love story ever was is that God loved us enough to keep us out of hell. Loved us enough to give his son to take our place, die for our sins on the cross. I don't have to go to hell. If I go there, I have to intrude. I have to force my way in. Jesus died so I wouldn't have to go. Have you ever received him as your Savior? That's the only way you're going to miss it. He paid the price for your sin that you don't have to go to hell. He shed his blood to cover your sin. I want to tell you something. You can come to, you say, well, I went to a big Baptist church and I was surprised that preacher actually preached on hell. That shouldn't surprise you. All of them used to. And all of them still should. You say, but I just can't stand the idea that somebody would die and go to hell. Then you send them there quicker by not warning them about it. Better watch out how you think about that. Now, the devil doesn't rule in hell, but he is going to be joined by a lot of folks that went voluntarily, believed his lie, and went along with him. Many of you know, and my testimony back there in a little old book, many of you have heard my story when I was about 14 years old, being in a bad, bad car wreck with about six other boys. Had a car packed full. And flipped it so many times, and it lay in the dark on its top, no lights anywhere. And truthfully, we all thought we were dead. There was not a sound. And all I could see in my mind was what Mother had told me. We were not churchgoers. Mother had told me, though, there was a hell, and she thought the devil was in charge of hell, which he isn't, but she thought that. And I thought I was in hell. It was so dark. She was right about one thing. She said it's dark in hell. I mean, we can't imagine that. We think about fire bringing light, but no, there's a black fire too. She was right about that. And it was dark and there was not a sound. And I was laying there as a 14-year-old boy. Didn't know it, but I was laying on the center light in the top, right in the middle of my back, because the car was on its top. And I expected any minute to see the devil. I thought I was in hell. And I laugh about it because an old man came down and the first thing I saw was his eyes when he looked in the car, and I thought the devil has arrived. And I want to tell you something, I didn't laugh about it then. Until this day, 70 years later, I still think about it. I thought I was in hell. You see, you don't get a second chance to get out of hell. But God impressed me, and I had the same fear as if it was real and I was in hell. And when I found out better, it's like I had a second chance. And years later, about 8 years later, I went to a church because I wanted to go with a girl that wouldn't go with me anywhere else. And I heard the good news. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to go to hell. I heard that Jesus loved me and died for me. And I want to tell you, since I received him as my Savior, he took away the fear of hell. There's dark pits in the world. There's dark pits in space. There's dark pits you can read about in the Bible. But I'm not going to any of them. I'm going to a city of light. The opposite. I got victory in Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven because he paid for my price, my sins on the cross. I ask you today, you heard that over and over? Yeah, you heard it over and over. What are you waiting on? Are you waiting to see who's right? It's going to be too late if you're wrong. And you are wrong if you don't receive Jesus. You can receive him this morning. You can leave that seat, come down that aisle and say, I'll take Jesus Christ. This old dark world is getting darker, but he's the light. And he'll take your name and write it in his Lamb's Book of Life. And one day he'll call you up to be with him. Wouldn't that be the best thing to do? Say, you preacher don't know all I've done. No, but Jesus does. And he died for every sin and every dirty thought you ever had. He paid it all. Paid it all on the cross for you. Wouldn't you come receive him? And don't you love him for doing that for you? Wouldn't you receive him and not be ashamed to confess his name, the one that did that for you, so you don't have to go to hell? You're in God's house. You've heard from God's book, God's preacher. The ball's in your court. What will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him or turn and say no on him? I pray you'll come and receive him even this morning. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. We pray for these that are in front of us. We pray for those out in radio land. We pray that the message this morning, Father, might reach somebody. Lord, we heard about a nation in darkness. Our nation's getting darker and darker, Father. We confess it to you. We ask for forgiveness, but we're not going to get it until we repent, and we understand that. But I pray right now for the moment, Father, some soul that's going to make a difference in the decision they make this morning, whether they're going to heaven or hell. I pray for them as we sing a song and invite them to come and receive Christ, like I did one day, and like hundreds in this building did one day, they can do it today. I pray you'd speak to them and draw them, but Lord, I know it has to be their decision. I pray they'll make the right one. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. We invite you to come and receive the Lord Jesus this morning. He said, whosoever that'll confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. He wants to turn to his Father this morning and say, he just confessed me down there, Father. Write his name down. Would you let him do that for you today? Would you come and receive him? I pray you will. You come as we sing. Just